Line.
How are you?
You know what? I'm all right. How are you?
Really? Just all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've got nothing bad, nothing good. Just kind of like, yeah, I'm good.
Nothing good?
Been watching a lot of Love Island lately and doing a lot of puzzles lately.
That's
true. I feel both simultaneously very old and also very young.
It's a good mixture.
It's, you know what? Honestly, it does make you feel quite even because you're like, oh, I'm doing this very difficult crossword puzzles.
Crossword
puzzles.
No, they're not crossword.
I do those too. But no, they're like jigsaw puzzles and they're very difficult.
Yes.
And then I'm also watching Love Island.
Yeah, so it'd be like watching like Bachelor in Paradise while doing like calculus homework, you know?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. Hey, welcome to Teenage Dirtbag, the podcast where we talk about puzzles.
Do you think there's a podcast out there that talks about puzzles?
I honestly think we should start one. Ew. That'll be our off series. Ew. Like our off what the hell's the word I'm looking for? Spinoff. We talk about puzzles, but mostly we talk about teenage movies or movies that take place during teenage years of characters. You know what I'm saying. I'm Maddie.
I'm Carly.
And today we're going to review Dirty Dancing.
Ever heard of it?
I don't know, buddy. Do you have anything you have to say to preface?
Not really. I guess summer's flying by and, you
is
know.
It fucking ever.
But I'm trying to enjoy the sunshine as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Me and Maddie have started a new thing where every morning when the dogs get up and before Maddie goes to work, so approximately 7:30 to 9 o'clock, we make coffee and we watch Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, and we have been previously warned. A lot of people I know worked on Handmaid's Tale, and they told me, because we are very behind. Like, it's on season 3 or 4 or something. And
we're on season 1.
Yeah, we're like just started. And people keep telling me, don't binge it because it's a bit depressing. And the reason I never watched it is because it aired when Donald Trump was elected president, just around the same time.
Yeah, that's kind of wild.
It was really, really close. Yeah. So I was like, I can't watch. This is way too close to reality. So anyway, point is we do it very slow and steady because we don't want to spiral into a depression because we're women of the modern age and this is kind of close to home a little bit.
But we like to make the voice of the woman who plays the Trunchbull. I call her Trunchbull, but I don't actually know
it's
her name.
It's Aunt Lydia.
Aunt Lydia.
She's the main, at this point, she's the main
female
nun
leader.
The first episode, right away, she's talking about how these women are so lucky to be fertile.
Yeah.
And be able to
bear children.
So she goes
from these commanders.
And so constantly, we always just go, oh, you're so lucky.
See, that was way better.
In the middle of the day, everything we talk about, we just go, oh, do you want to walk the dogs? Oh, we're so lucky.
And then constantly, when the dogs want food, but they like can't have them, they go, oh, you are so unlucky.
So annoying. So that's a good preface because there's a good chance we might quote that in this at some point. So anyway, point is it films in Toronto and we live in Toronto and it's very close to home, quite literally. And I know like 40% of the crew members on it.
You're such a bragger.
I'm a name dropper. I love name dropping.
So do I.
It's really fun.
Have you ever met Scary Spice?
Yeah, actually, I was with you. That's when we met.
Okay. You're right.
Don't even try.
Okay, fine. But you didn't come on set. Whatever, doesn't matter.
You're right. I did not go on set.
Can I actually tell, while we're just getting into this, can I tell my Scary Spice story?
I love it.
Okay, so me and Maddie worked at a production company that
where we made
a movie called The 12 Trees of Christmas
No, that wasn't that one.
Yeah, it was. It was called, the 12 Trees of Christmas. Look it up right now, bitch.
I'm
positive. Anyways, I went on set. I got to meet her. She was delightful, whatever. And then we had
her being Scary Spice.
Melby.
Right.
So then we had a whole event at Christmas time to premiere the movie where I was in charge of taking photos of Mel and her fans, okay? And so this was during the, this was in 2013. So this was the era of like everyone's phone was different.
Yeah.
It wasn't like everyone had an iPhone. It was like everyone had like a different type of phone, whether it was a flip phone or what.
BlackBerry, so, iPhone.
Exactly. So there's this huge lineup of Spice Girls fans. And she says to me, I do not want the flash on. It's just something, it's my preference. So I was like, okay. But like, because I'm using every single person that walks up, hands me their phone to take a picture for them. And I'm like, I don't know how to use every phone on the planet.
Right.
So sometimes the flash would go off. And she would look at me as if I was an absolute dumbass. And I was just like...
Like you were doing it on purpose.
Like, yes. And I was like, listen, Mel, you know, I'm not a genius. I don't know how to turn the flash off of this...
BlackBerry Pearl.
BlackBerry Pearl. I had one of those.
Of course you did.
Anyway, she was great. All in all, she was great. But that was just like a really stressful moment. I was like sweating bullets like, oh, Mel B is going to lose her shit.
That's one of the first times you and I, in fact, it is the first time you and I hung out outside of work, but we didn't really hang out. We were at the same event.
Okay. I have also another memory that has to do with you at that event. I was like in charge of stuff and you, I think, had just started.
I had just started.
So like you weren't like in charge of anything at this point.
No, I was just there.
You were just there. And I remember I was standing against this wall and you were seated in the auditorium, sort of a diagonal from me, very close to me.
I can literally envision exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And so I think we just said hi or whatever. I didn't really know you. I think I like smiled at you or whatever. And then the producer of the movie, I forget his name, he came over to me and he gave me a kiss on the cheek. Okay. And like, I am not prepared for kisses on the cheek because I'm like, do you do both cheeks or do you just do the one?
Right.
And then, so I sort of leaned away after the one kiss, the one cheek kiss was done.
Right.
And then he went in for the second cheek kiss.
Oh, gosh.
And then I kind of leaned back in for the second cheek kiss and it was really awkward and I was very uncomfortable. But in my head, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I hope Maddie didn't see that because that was so embarrassing.
Clearly, I didn't take note of it. I wasn't like, that girl is hooking up with the producer.
No, I didn't think you were going to think that. I think I was just worried you were going to be like, what an awkward weirdo.
Oh, I mean, I thought that already. For sure. No, I'm not kidding. 100% I thought that.
You thought I was awkward weirdo?
In like the 100% best way, because that's literally what I am. So I fucking remember so clearly meeting. I remember our first, literally our first, the first times our eyes met. And I remember being like, this is going to be my friend. I'm not fucking
really?
Kidding.
Really? I did not think that of you.
I know you didn't think that of me at all. But I remember looking you square in the face and you said like, yeah, do this or whatever. And I literally was like, this is going to be my friend.
Wow.
I'm not joking. The very first time Garland introduced us.
Yeah.
His name is Garland, like literally. And he introduced us and... And I remember being like, this is my friend.
I was like, for like 2 seconds, I was kind of your boss.
Yep.
Did you like take me seriously?
Yeah. Oh. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
My first memory of like actually being like, oh, she's actually someone maybe I could be friends with, maybe, was when we all went to see Bad Grandpa, the movie with Johnny Knoxville.
We did.
Which is like not that great of a movie. But like me and you somehow sat beside each other and I was kind of like, oh, like, I don't want to sit beside a stranger. I'd rather sit beside someone I know. But I was like, oh, well, whatever. And then I noticed that we were laughing at the same things. And I was like, okay, maybe I could get on board with a new person.
I like it. I just thought I would look to see if I could find our first email because I know I had to send emails to you.
I already found it.
You did, really?
Yeah, because one day you said my first email to you was like so professional. You were like, oh, I wrote like, dearest Carly Smale, attached is the article that you requested, or whatever.
Right. I probably sounded really professional, or
whatever,
I tried to.
Right? Because I was like laughing, I was like, oh, I got to look this up now. So I went into my old email, my old Hotmail, and I typed in
Hotmail.
Maddie or whatever. And the first email you ever sent me, I asked you to do coverage, script coverage, which is when you get someone to read a script and they make notes. And you you wrote back, the subject line was, the night before Shitmas.
clearly my professionalism lasted long.
No, this is the very first email you sent me. And then I clicked it, and then the subject was like, this is the biggest piece of shit script, but it's attached as the coverage. And it was like, oh, you were not professional for
that's so
for
funny.
One second.
When I just, like, not to go on about us for so long, but we should. So I literally just looked up in my email, your email, but I guess I got, like, your more recent email address.
Okay.
And the first email I have from you is me sending you a YouTube video, and you wrote back, my first sugar daddy experience was pretty similar, actually. Insightful.
What video was it?
No, I have no idea. It just says, I hope this YouTube video makes you as angry as it made me.
I don't remember that at all. What year was that?
2014.
Ah, that was the year where our friendship truly blossomed.
You're so lucky!
All right, let's get into this movie.
Okay, so Dirty Dancing, the original.
Pardon? Is there not an original?
Yeah, there's a second one called Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Oh.
I also have that on DVD, and I also love that one.
Great.
Okay, Patrick Swayze's in it for 1 second.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We'll watch it later. That one's with Diego Luna.
I don't know who that is, nor do I care.
Okay, Dirty Dancing, 1987, directed by Emile Ortolino, written by Eleanor Bergstein, starring Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey. The logline is, spending the summer at a Catskills resort with her family, Frances, baby, houseman, falls in love with the camp's dance instructor, Johnny Castle.
What a name.
What a name indeed. Houseman and Castle, both accommodations. Or housing situations, I guess.
That is true.
A houseman isn't it doesn't matter. So I don't have... You were a little surprised because we came downstairs and we set up to start recording. And you went, are you going to get your notes? And I said, no, I know them. And you'll remember that you saw my notes and it's literally one line.
Oh, yeah. It literally says, like the part where they dance.
It does not. It says the montage. It says I love the part where the montage where she's learning to dance.
I love that they dance.
I love the dancing. I love when they dirty dance. So if you haven't seen this movie, you can walk yourself to hell. Have you seen this? Had you seen this movie before? Tell me about your experience.
Yeah, I had seen it before. I thought it was a bore fest, and it was the first thing I saw on Broadway on stage. In grade 11 or 12, I went to see Dirty Dancing, and...
Wait, hold on. You had seen it on stage before you saw the movie?
Yeah.
Ah.
And so...
Ah.
All I remember from that experience is that I thought that the part where they're in the water was kind of neat because they made the stage all misty and it looked like they were actually in water.
Mm.
Other than that, I was like, boring. And then somebody in the crowd... this was during, the height of Juno. Mm. And someone in the crowd said to me, you look like Juno. And I thought, what a compliment.
You also look nothing like her at all.
Okay.
Sorry.
Fine.
But I think you look way more like Anna Kendrick. And I think that's okay. A compliment.
Well, so. I would rather take Anna Kendrick.
I don't think they look anything alike.
Okay. So anyways, I thought the movie was boring initially, but... upon rewatching it for this podcast, I enjoyed it much more.
Spoiler alert.
What?
That's the ending. You're supposed to say that at the end that you liked it.
Okay.
It's supposed to be related to your rating at the end. Doesn't matter. Who cares? YOLO. I have seen this movie before. I have seen this movie, honestly, 400 times at minimum. It was a movie that my friend Kat of Kat and Matt.
Kat and Matt.
Kat and Matt. Kat and I have grown up. We grew up down the street from each other, and our parents still live down the street from each other. And we would often do sleepovers right through until university and past university at her parents' house because we would stay up the entire night and watch. And I don't mean like, oh, we stayed up late till 2 a.m. I'm quite literally mean we stayed up until the morning and watch movies. We would watch 6 or 7 movies.
That sounds like my dream.
It was amazing. It was so fun. Anyway, every single time, 2 of those movies were Dirty Dancing 1 and 2. So if you haven't seen this movie, I don't think we should go beat by beat because...
Let's just sum it up. Baby is the main character and she's going to a resort with her family. She has two parents. One is a dad. One is a mom.
She also has a sister.
The sister is an absolutely pointless character who provides absolutely nothing towards this story.
That's very accurate.
And let's see. They go to a resort. It's a very waspy resort. Everyone's wealthy. And
motherfucking Wayne Knight is there. He's been in every movie that's ever existed.
Okay, what movies has Wayne Knight been? I feel like I haven't seen Wayne Knight in ages.
Are you, well, okay, I mean, every movie I'm about to list is, like, really old. But, like, Jurassic Park.
Right, he gets eaten off the toilet.
No, that's the lawyer. Are you new?
It's Wayne Knight who gets eaten
The outhouse. No, he does not. That's the lawyer. That is the lawyer. Oh, my God. You're going to be so embarrassed. Wayne Knight gets killed by the little lizards things he's trying. Don't even fucking try.
Maddie, don't look it up. You're right. Accept that you're right. It's the where he starts slipping and sliding in the rain. And that little tiny guy with the things that pops out of his neck.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Thank you.
I always thought he was the one that got eaten off the toilet.
No, eat my shorts, bitch.
I will eat your shorts with pleasure because I am wrong.
Anyway, Jurassic Park. He is in motherfucking Space Jam.
Okay.
Do you know who he plays in Space Jam?
No, I don't have a clue.
Are you kidding? He plays like this publicist or something, like intern. And Michael Jordan is changing careers. And Wayne Knight like is assigned to basically follow him and make sure he's happy at all times. Sucks himself in. So he's at the golf resort and when he gets sucked into the hole.
Yeah.
When Michael Jordan does. And so he's like trying to find him. So he digs up the hole to try to find him. And then he gets sucked in with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. Yeah, yeah. And then he goes in and then he like follows him around. And he's like, "Aw, you again." Anyway, he's really fucking annoying.
I could see that. I could see him being great in that role.
He also plays Buddy in Seinfeld that I don't know.
Newman.
Sure. That guy. He's just always in everything. I'm sure he's in Spice World, but I don't think he is.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh my God. Fucking Rat Race. He plays the dumbest fucking character. I hate his character. His character is so stupid. Can I tell you about his character in Rat Race?
Honestly, I don't know how many episodes we've done, but at least 50% of them you mentioned Rat Race.
I love Rat Race, but I hate this whole storyline. Okay. Do you know what one he is in Rat Race?
No, I haven't seen Rat Race since 2001.
Okay, well, there's your first mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, so a Rat Race, he plays a man. He's a truck driver. And he has to get from point A to point B and he's transporting something. We don't know what. Okay. Mr. Bean gets into his car because he needs a ride. He hitchhikes.
Does Mr. Bean talk in this film?
Yeah, he goes, I'm in a race. I'm in a race. I'm going to win. Okay. I know this movie really fucking well.
Uh-huh.
And then he falls asleep. He has narcolepsy. But anyway, so Mr. Bean.
Sounds like such a good film.
We're going to watch this. Mr. Bean is hitchhiking. So he's hitchhiking. He gets in Wayne Knight's truck and Wayne Knight goes, do you want to see what I'm transporting? And Mr. Bean's like, I guess so. Like, sure. And he opens up this cooler and he's transporting a human heart.
Oh, I kind of remember
that. It's being literally transplanted into someone's body.
Yeah.
And he has to take it there. And then he goes, do you want to hold it? And Mr. Bean's like, sure, whatever. And then he fucking holds it and he like
slips.
It slips out the fucking window on a highway. And then they have to get out and find it. And then he goes, they're like, oh no, we lost the heart. Like it's gone. And then Wayne Knight looks at me and goes, do you have any family, Mr. Bean? And Mr. Bean says, no, I came here with no one. I don't know anyone. I'm lonely. And then Wayne Knight looks at him. He's going to kill him because he wants his heart instead.
Right.
He doesn't.
Oh.
Because then he gets electrocuted by an electric fence.
That's just like a dark plot. Because that means that like whoever was going to get that heart probably died.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. This movie is insane.
Yeah.
Seth Green is also in it.
I know.
And Breckenmeyer. And that was a movie that started I honestly had a tortured heart because I didn't know who I liked more, Seth Green or Breckenmeyer.
Who's Breckenmeyer? Oh, is he the one from Clueless?
Yes. He's also in Kate and Leopold.
Right.
Anyway, look, I was really obsessed with people. When I liked someone,
I know.
I liked someone.
I know. Trust
anyway,
me.
Point is, I did not like Wayne Knight. In fact, I had a band. We were going to do a band name.
Wait, it was named after Wayne Knight?
It was It was named after Wayne Knight, but I don't want you to put it in. You have to beep it.
Okay,
what
was it?
Because it's not a polite thing.
What was it?
Because he has...
He does.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll never know!
All right, all right. Well, you know what? I watched Third Rock from the Sun, which he was absolutely revolutionary in Third Rock from the Sun. And he was a rare talent in Seinfeld.
Is he married? Do you have children?
Didn't you have an interesting fact about this film?
I do. I have an interesting fact about this film.
Tell me.
My interesting fact is that Patrick Swayze originally had to convince Jennifer Grey to be in this movie. She did not want to do it because they filmed the movie together before and she hated him. She did not get along with him. What movie it is. But they have some chemistry in this.
I don't understand why Patrick Swayze would even want her in the role if they don't
because
like each other.
Because she's perfect. She's baby. That's the starring role. This is a fucking classic.
Okay, what happened to her? I don't even know anything about her, except you told me that she used to date... She was engaged to that man. That is married to Sarah Jessica Parker. Matthew Broderick.
I almost said Matthew McConaughey for 1 second. I think she dated him at some point. Oh, yeah, because he's Ferris Bueller and she plays his sister.
Yeah,
I think they were dating or some shit at some point. I don't fucking know. She didn't tell me. But anyway, I think she's just chilling right now, but she did get a nose job. I know that.
Oh, right.
And I think honestly, her career went... When she shaved her nose, she shaved her career.
When she reduced the schnoz, she lost all credibility.
She reduced the schnoz as well as her talent. The talent was homed in the bump of her nose. So when it was shaved off, her talent went away.
I didn't realize she had a bump in her nose.
I don't know. But whatever it is, she didn't like her nose. And I disagree with that because I think she looks fucking stunning.
Well, we both have issues with our own noses.
We do have large noses.
I would say that I have a schnoz. Would you agree?
With yours or mine?
Mine.
No, I think you have more of a... A schnoz to me is larger. I don't think you have a large nose. I think you do have a bit of a bump, but I don't...
Oh, my.
Just a little bit.
I'm going to get a nose job.
No, you're not. But see, this is my issue with mine. Let me talk about me for a moment because I don't talk enough.
Uh-huh.
My mom has a small, cute, little petite nose, but she has a bump in her nose.
She does, eh?
My dad has a perfectly shaped nose, but his nose is huge because his head is huge. I got the fucking both of them. I got the huge part and the bump.
Let me see. Go to the side.
My profile.
Turn to the side.
Get ready. It's violent. it's sharp. Let's ready?
See. Yep. Oh, okay.
I'm not fucking joking. I'm not joking. When I turn to the side, my immediate image of what people are seeing is when Danny DeVito plays a penguin. In Batman. I'm not kidding. That's literally immediate. I'm like, this is what they're seeing. I don't care though. I mean, like, I cared. I definitely cared, but I would never get a nose job. And when I was younger, I cared so much, but I just learned, honestly, I learned what angles to use in pictures. I learned I have to stay on the fucking right side of people.
Know. When I see photos of myself from the side, like my profile, I am honestly like, I am the most heinous looking creature. I should be cast in the remake of Hocus Pocus. Just based
on
the schnoz.
No prosthetics needed.
Save the money. I already got it.
Save the money. Oh, my God.
I think I look Greek with this nose.
Hey, guess what? I am Greek.
I know. I think I could be Greek, too. I think we kind of look similar some ways.
Sure. I've heard people ask us that before. Not if we're like fucking twins, but are you related? Are you sisters? And we just go, no, we're just best friends, blood sisters.
We have our period at the same time.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But when I look at myself, when I see a picture of myself in the profile, I immediately sign up for a consultation at plastic surgery.
I know. We should do it together.
No, I would rather die. Do you know what? I think what stopped me, I always was like, I'll get a nose job one day. And then, but not ever seriously. Like, I just kind of thought, one day... It'll happen. I'll make myself whatever. And then those plastic surgery shows became a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw what it takes to get a nose job. Oh. And I literally was like, nope. And since like they did a good job because the second I saw that, I have never even. It's one time I actually walked into a wall and I got a huge bruise on my nose. And I was terrified that I broke it and that I would have to get a nose job. I was terrified. Wow. I didn't want to have to go through it. But seriously, I know we hate our noses. We think they're horrible. And they are. But I still think, I would think you would look weird with a knot your okay. nose. I think you would look insane.
Let's be honest. We both love Owen Wilson.
Oh my God. And he's literally my ringtone.
That's true. And if he ever fixed that schnoz of his, I would be sad.
And look at this. Now circle back. Jennifer Grey had one of the best noses in the biz.
Now she's looking for empty bottles and recycling bins around LA for extra cash. Jesus Christ. She has to get that nose back. Gotta take some skin from her ass and attach it to her face to get that nose back.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. I get a little too far.
You're just taking it too far. You get to a real good spot and then you go, I'm just gonna take one more little step. Then you take another step after that.
No, but wait. I have one more comment about this.
I can't wait.
Recently, as in like this week, Dakota, the woman from the show that's very sexy. What is her name? Oh no, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, the movie Dakota.
Yes,
Johnson.
Thank you. Yes, what a strange last name that I forgot. Very eccentric. She this week closed the gap in her teeth.
I disagree with that.
Tell me.
I've always wished I had a gap in my teeth. And I've said that to people and they thought I was insane. But I honestly think it is one of the most incredible features on a face. I think they're gorgeous.
So are you super into Seal?
No.
You don't know who Seal is,
yes,
do you?
Yes, of course I do. But oh. I don't think... Kids from a rose on a new who not an eating beaten down. Don't fucking question me about Seal.
Okay, but do you know what he looks like?
Yes, I know what he looks like.
Can you picture the gap in his teeth?
Yeah, I don't like him.
You don't like that gap?
I think the gap is great. I don't think he's attractive. Okay, let's talk about the movie. So so she goes to this camp, the general concept, she goes to this camp or this resort. She starts hanging out with the staff of the resort because she does not fit in with her waspy family and like all the wasps mm-hmm. around. She don't want to go to no hive. And mm-hmm. then she starts hanging out with the staff and she meets Johnny Castle, who is played by Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, she like at one night she like opens up these doors and she sees that all the staff are like dancing in a way that's very sexual.
They are dancing.
Yeah. Like they're thrusting each other's pelvic regions together.
And they're not, none of them are dating supposedly. And I'm like, bish, you can't, well, you're dating. You're doing a lot more than dating.
Johnny Castle's job is to be a dancer with his like.
A dance instructor.
He's a dance instructor.
You're right. He's the entertainment.
Yeah.
And he's a dance instructor.
Yeah. So him and his partner used to date when they were kids, but now they're just friends. And her name is Peggy or Penny. I can't remember.
Penny.
And so Penny is a little bit, well.
Pregnant?
Well, yes. She
inseminated?
She gets inseminated.
Fertile?
She is fertile, yes.
With child?
She is absolutely very fertile. And I think that she made a bad choice with the man she chose to sleep with. Because he ends up being a real asshole.
A real dirtbag, but not in the good way.
Not in the good way. So she's like, I need to get an abortion. And then baby.
But oh, and we should clarify, it's not Johnny Castle that's the father. But everyone thinks it's him because they're best friends and they perform together and everyone assumes it's him.
Right.
So she needs an abortion. So then baby helps get the money because she's rich. Because
she gets
her
the money
like
from her dad, but she lies to her dad about the money. And he goes, is this for anything illegal? And then she goes, of course not, daddy. Which makes me think that at this point in history, wherever they live, abortion is illegal.
Sure.
So in 1987, sure. Do you think this movie was supposed to be set in 1987? When the movie came out? Like, do you think it's supposed to be?
Yeah, I understand. I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
I really don't know.
You gave me a very blank look. Okay, so the resort. Like, have you ever been to a resort like this?
I have never been to a resort like this. I've been to a resort once, and it was for my final year of university. I went with three other girls, and we went to Dominican Republic. We went to an all-inclusive mm-hmm. in Dominican Republic. It's the only time I've been to an all-inclusive resort. And similar to this, we befriended the staff, but I mean, they're also like paid. In this scenario, they're like paid to be our friends, basically. And they would like hang out with us they want tips, though. I mean, this was in 2011 or something.
Yeah,
this
they definitely want tips. Like, I've been to a few all-inclusive resorts with my family, and, like, the staff definitely are, like, buttering you up for tips. But they also are just so genuinely lovely. And, like, there was one trip to Panama we took, and we would, like, write letters to the people.
They literally, at the Dominican Republic resort, they literally had me convinced that these are going to be my friends for life.
Yeah.
Like, I was ready to befriend these people forever.
Yeah, totally.
And we had a fucking great time. And one night, the only thing I don't like is that you can't really explore the country you're in. Well, you can, yeah, but especially because there was four of us, four girls. We were 21, 22, and we were predominantly drunk the entire time.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us really trusted ourselves to just, like, go exploring on our own. We didn't want to fucking end up dead. However, one night, two of the girls were really sick. They'd gotten food poisoning. And so myself and one of the girls went with one of the staff members, and he took us around bar hopping in Dominican. And honestly, it's so not something I would ever do. But it was one of the best nights. It was one of the best nights.
I'm glad that you were safe and nothing happened.
Correct. But that's the thing is, like, when you watch this thing, you're like, why is she, like, so obsessed with the staff? But especially now, I'm sure it was like this in the 80s and the 90s and whatever as well. But especially now, like, they are literally there to make sure you have a good time.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And, like, yeah, the resorts that I went to, I'd go with, like, my cousins and stuff, and we'd go to the disco.
Yeah.
And we're dancing it up with people. And there was one time in particular where this sort of thing that she walks in on, of them all dancing very sexually, the closest I've come to that experience is when I went to a salsa club in Toronto where a live band plays salsa music. And at like 10 o'clock, you get like a salsa lesson. And then at 11 o'clock, the live band starts and everyone just goes wild. And I'm not talking about just like jumping around like you see in clubs. Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying, like, everyone there was like an expert salsa dancer. They're being like flipped around, whipped around. It was amazing. I was honestly so bad at it, but it was still really fun. And the trombonist in the band eventually came down to help me because I was such a flailing wreck. He started showing me how to dance. We started dancing together, and he got a boner.
Did he have the trombone while he was dancing with you?
No. He put that down.
Okay, well, so I have a vision of him, like, dancing with you with a trombone in his hand.
No. So we ended up calling him Tromboner the rest of the night, which was a real...
To his face?
Real gas at the time.
Did you do it to his face?
No, of course not. I only talk bad behind people's backs.
Oh, pardon me.
Never to them.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most wild nights of my life.
You know what? It was a wild night. I was not there, but I was there at the aftermath. You came and stayed in my apartment after.
You were nice enough because the club was sort of close to where your apartment was. So me and a friend ended up crashing at your place. And I just remember waking up the next morning feeling like garbage and then seeing you and my friend sitting on the couch watching Big Fish. And I remember thinking, like, that's so nice that they're watching this movie together. And then I went back to sleep. But yeah, no, it was such a fun, wild night. I would love to go back and, like, not drink as much and just, like, but I'm just such a bad dancer. Like, do you feel like you're a good dancer?
No, but I do not care. You take me to a wedding, I will dance the night away. And I will love it.
Yeah.
Like, at the boat cruise last week, I mean, granted, it took a little bit of drinking prior because I was with work people, so it's a bit different, but I will tear up the dance floor.
Yeah, that's great.
And I know that I'm horrible. Like, I'm doing pointed fingers.
Yeah.
I'm doing little waddles. I'm doing a quacking duck dance.
Yeah.
And I have a fucking great time.
Okay. Follow-up question.
Yes, give it to me.
Have you ever made it with someone at a club, just a stranger who comes up and wants to dance with you and you just start making out?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, I've been on it, I don't know, once or twice, maybe three times. You know, in my younger years.
Oh, I was a child.
Okay, that's not appropriate.
I was a younger person.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't done that in a while, but...
I haven't done that in a long fucking while.
I haven't even been to a club in, like, I don't know how long.
I literally don't think I have been to a club and enjoyed it since... England, was it? I lived in England, which was 2011, 2013.
Yeah, my whole thing with dancing. Okay, so I'm like you. Like at weddings, I'll rip up the dance floor and I have a great time. But it's when someone comes up to me and wants to dance with me.
Oh no, that and I'm like,
and they want to get into some kind of rhythm.
No,
it's honestly like the opening scene of Bridesmaids. That's how I feel when I dance with someone. You know, and John Hamm, Kristen Wiig having sex, and she's like, I feel like we're not on the same rhythm, right. And they're like going like opposite directions. That's how I feel when I dance with someone. Like, even if they're like my boyfriend, I'm just like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm just so, I feel like we're so offbeat. And like, I just, I would rather just dance near you, but by myself.
Sure.
I don't want to be like holding hands and dancing because I'm just, I just can't get on the same rhythm.
Sure. No, I get you. I'm okay with it because I'm very lucky. I'm so lucky.
You're so lucky.
That I have Michael as my significant other because he is the definition of a white man when it comes to dancing, which I am the definition of a white man when it comes to dancing as well. So we kind of play off each other and it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's nice. I need to find someone who can help me out.
Or just own it with you.
Or just own it. That's true. Yeah.
That's what I like. I love
just
when
feel
they
like
own it.
In the past I've dated somebody who like wanted us to like look good on the dance floor.
Oh, I have no interest.
And I was like, "Ooh, like this is not gonna happen."
I would be very interested in looking good at the dance floor if I was in a club and I was interested in finding a partner. But in these cases, I've got the best one around, and all I need is my honest. I'm not even fucking kidding. My like literal life goal is to make Mike laugh. It is my, I'm being serious. When he laughs at something I'm doing or said, it's the best feeling in the world. So literally all I care about is looking like a fucking idiot on the dance floor because I laugh.
Oh, that's so nice.
Which is, it makes it a little bit difficult for people to approach me if I'm on the dance floor because I'm like flailing. Let's talk about the movie some more,
okay,
shall we?
Okay, so let's just get this out of the way. Let's talk about Swayze.
Okay.
Okay. He is very sexy in this movie.
Yes.
His dance moves are delish.
He's in control.
He knows what he wants.
He knows what he wants and he knows how to get it.
And he knows how to move that pelvis.
Oh, does he ever? His bum is a drum.
His bum is a drum. Have you ever seen the SNL skit where him and Chris Farley are Chippendale dancers?
Yes.
It's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
I think we both are on the same page when it comes to
attraction level.
Attraction to those that can dance.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like Danny from Grease.
You know what? It's not even so much. It's honestly, it's not a level of being able to dance for me. It's the confidence and commitment. Someone could be horrible at dancing with the same level of confidence and commitment to their moves, and I'm in.
My favorite part of this film was the Hungry Eyes montage.
Hungry Eyes. Hungry Eyes.
Because, like, it's the first time that we see, Johnny Ocean. What's his name? Johnny Castle. Ocean. Johnny Castle. This is, the montage is, like, the first time you see Johnny Castle like have a soft spot.
Yes, yes, I see what you're saying.
For this girl, and they're laughing, they're having fun, they're in the water, and they're and like they're just enjoying each other's company. And I like the part in the forest when they're balancing on the branch.
Yes, okay, it's not a branch; it's like a fucking tree trunk.
Well,
you make it sound like they climbed a tree like a squirrel and are hopping down on a branch. It's like a giant tree has fallen over and they're balancing on it like acrobats.
Okay, glad you got to clarify that.
I don't want people imagining a world in which.
Okay, did you have a favorite part in this movie?
Yes.
Would you like to share it or would you like to keep it to yourself?
I'll tell you, my favorite part in this movie, I mean, that's my favorite Johnny and baby part. My favorite part of this movie is when the sister rehearses her dance and she goes, and it's like the worst thing in the world and it makes me laugh every time.
I honestly thought the sister was gonna redeem herself at the end somehow.
You'd think.
But she really just sucked. She was just like,
it's pretty bad.
You're just upset that you're no longer daddy's favorite, and then like that's like her plot is like just being like mean.
Shitty. Yeah. She's never great. I'm not into it, honestly.
That's one of the reasons why I have never desired to have a sister.
Oh.
It's because a brother wouldn't do that.
That's not accurate.
You don't
Maybe
think?
Not your fucking angelic asshole brothers. The only reason they're assholes, by the way, just to clarify, Eric and Kevin, is because you guys are fucking perfect. Your whole family, so damn perfect.
No, that's not true at all.
Well, you got me wishing.
Okay. I just want to, I have a question.
I had the time of my life. Did you really not know where I was going with
no,
that?
No, I didn't.
You had no idea what was going on. Okay, go ahead. What's your question?
Was one of the songs in this film nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah, I think it won best, I almost said best picture. I think it won best, best Oscar.
Oh!
Oh, God. It won best original song.
For what song?
I didn't write it down.
Sometimes I
it's
wish
it's gotta
it.
Be
I never
Honolulu la na nee nee na na noo nee na na nee nee na na la na. I really wanna.
How much money would someone have to give you to it's for Wayne Knight?
Do you mean literally or like to do him a favor?
I meant that in a sexual way.
How much money would I have to be paid? By who?
By.
Because he's got a lot of money.
By Wayne Knight.
One time?
Once. Approximately 8 to 10 minutes.
$100,000.
Okay, but this is how it would go down, though. It would be like a Handmaid's Tale.
No!
Where he doesn't even touch you with his hands. He's also fully clothed, and so are you. And I'm on the bed holding your wrists.
With my head between your legs.
Wayne Knight is your commander.
And I'm the handmaid.
Yeah.
How much would I need to be paid as a handmaid? I don't get paid nothing. I would have to be paid, for the demeaning aspect of that, $200,000.
Okay. That's fair.
How much would you have to be paid?
I do it for free. Love Wayne Knight.
Jesus Christ. Also, can I just bring something up really quickly? You can take this out if you want.
Mm-hmm.
In episode whatever where we did Can't Buy Me Love, I asked you how much it would take for Donald Trump
right.
to pay you to be his like other half for a month. And
right.
you have to support him and be there like Melania Trump. And you have to have sex with him throughout that month.
Right.
As if you're with him and nobody can know that it's a ruse.
Right.
And you said $100,000.
I said 100?
You said 100 and I literally
I think I said 200.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Fine. You didn't say more than a million, which is insane.
Okay.
Anyway, today at work, I made everyone in the office write it down on a piece of paper
yeah.
without me telling the story before
okay.
just to see what they would say organically.
Yeah.
And every single person said at least $200
million. $200
million. One person, Phil, wrote a bullet.
That's a great answer, actually.
Yeah, I know. Pretty good.
I don't think that I would actually go through with it. A month is a long time.
I know.
Like, I can hardly go on a second date with somebody because I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. Donald Trump, honestly, probably wouldn't pick you, to be honest. You don't look.
It's because the schnoz, isn't
you've
it?
You've got the bump. Yeah.
I know. You're right.
Sorry. I'm
you're
just
right.
Well. Welcome to Teenage Dirtbags. I love this movie. I know we didn't really talk about it much.
The mom from Gilmore Girls is in this.
The mom, but not even Lorelai. Emily Gilmore, we should clarify.
Yeah.
The grandma.
She's probably my favorite character in Gilmore Girls.
She's my favorite character in this movie.
She has approximately 2 lines of dialogue.
Correct. Who is your favorite character in this movie? I was kidding, by the way. That's not my answer. Who do you relate to most?
I relate to Jennifer Grey because I can be timid around new experiences and new people. But then once, you know, someone has faith in me and gives me confidence, I can really blossom.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that just delightful?
Mm.
What about you?
The sister. She's annoying and so am I.
Yeah, you could have definitely been cast as that role. Hallelujah.
I really wanna.
The talent show is insane.
It's so, they don't even fucking do anything. There's literally no point. They don't even show it, really, do they?
Ready? Let's say the most famous line of all from the film.
Okay. One, two, three. I'm Wayne Knight.
Hello, I'm Wayne Knight.
Welcome to the resort.
Oh, I mean, we didn't really explain this film at all.
Who cares?
The girl, Penny, she gets an abortion, but it goes haywire. Then the dad has to come in because he's a doctor and actually help her get better. And that's how that goes. And then that's why Jennifer Grey has to step in and be Patrick Swayze's partner, dance partner, to replace Penny while she heals.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Should we do six to six to six go Leo?
Well, do we want to rate it first?
Oh, okay, rate it. Go ahead. What do you think you would have rated it before? Because you did not want to do this movie at all. Every time we were like close to picking it or talked about doing it, you were like, no.
Well, I think this episode really goes to show why I didn't want to do it, really.
Okay.
Because I don't really think there's much to say.
Okay.
Before I would have probably given it a 5. Now I'll give it a 7.
That's good.
Okay, let's do 6 to 6 go Leo. 6 to 6 go Leo.
Okay, go ahead.
Wayne Knight.
Are you kidding?
Wayne Knight was in Jurassic Park, as we
and
talked about.
So was
about.
Leo.
Nope. Jurassic Park was directed by Steven Spielberg, who also directed Catch Me If You Can.
All right.
And Leo was in that movie.
Excellent.
What is yours?
Mine is Emily Gilmore is in this movie. She's also in Gilmore Girls.
Uh-huh.
Who also, Lauren Graham is also in.
Uh-huh.
Who plays Lorelai Gilmore.
Yep.
She's also in Parenthood.
Yep.
In Parenthood is, Dax Shepard.
Peter Krause.
Dax Shepard's in it. Dax Shepard is married to Kristen Bell.
No. Marriage doesn't count
as
a connection.
Oh, okay. Peter Krause is in 6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
And that also has Michael C. Hall.
Who's in Dexter.
Yes. And John Lithgow is also in Dexter.
He's in Third Rock from the Sun with Wayne Knight.
With Wayne Knight, who is in Jurassic Park.
Who is directed by Steven Spielberg.
Right. Who also directed Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah. That is what you call
that
6 degrees
how
of Leo.
You fucking do it. Mic drop. Okay, so that's it for this episode, I think. Next week, we are going to do insert movie here.
Yep.
You can catch us at Instagram on teenage... Okay, wait, that's not what it was. On Instagram at Teenage Dirtbags Podcast with a Z.
I lose followers daily. Every time I post, I lose a follower.
You're so unlucky.
And thank you to my two older brothers, Eric and Kevin Smale, for their generosity and for making our theme song. And, well, what can I say? Enjoy your summer. Enjoy August.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. You are so lucky.
You're so lucky.